If there were to be written just one sentence about our life on this earth, what would you like it to be? Think about it. We see one sentence that describes the life that Jesus lived on this earth. That was how Peter introduced Jesus to the Gentiles in the home of Cornelius. A word we have heard through the years, Acts 10:38. I like to read it backwards, because that's really what it, how it is. Acts 10:38. Before that, you know, it says in verse 34, opening his mouth, Peter opened his mouth on that day when the church came to the Gentiles. The church began or was born in Cornelius' home. He says, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. That's how he began his message. God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Like I said, if you read it backwards, because that's really what it is. And that's how Peter introduced Jesus, one sentence. Because God was with Jesus of Nazareth, God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went about doing good, not doing miracles, signs and wonders. He went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, all those who were taken captive by the devil. God was with Jesus. And if you and I, were, like I said in the beginning, if there was one sentence, I would like this to be written about my life. God was with Ian of Bangalore. Anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good, healing all those oppressed by the devil. What a testimony. Do you want that? Or do you want to say, you know, he served the church, he sacrificed so much, and he did this and he did that. And he was in the church for so many years. No, none of these things. I said, Lord, I would like that to be written about me. That God was with you. God was with me. Therefore, he anoints us with the Holy Spirit and power. And we go about doing good. Do we recognize that we need that anointing to do good? You and I cannot do good. Even when that man came to Jesus and said, good teacher. Jesus stopped him and said, no one is good except God. There's nothing good that we can ever do unless God enables us. I hope we recognize that. The rest is social work. A lot of people are doing that. But if we want to do good, to help people, to free them from the devil's power, we need to be anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. I hope you recognize this. That's what we have preached for 45 years. That's how the church began in the home of Brother Zach 45 years ago. God does not show partiality. The man who fears him, the woman who fears him is welcome to him. And you know what happened in Cornelius' home. That was the beginning. the gospel that came to the Gentiles, when Peter opened his mouth and he spoke about Jesus. And I hope, my dear brothers and sisters, that it can be said about you and me, about our home, our family, God was with so and so. Therefore, he anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went about, or she went about, doing good, healing all those oppressed by the devil. That is the mark that distinguishes us from all the other people on the earth. That is a mark that makes us different as a church. Not because we have good singing or good messages or so many other things. Thank God for that and good fellowship. But that God is with us. If God is with us, our meeting is in vain. We are just having a social gathering. We just become a club. But if God is with us, it makes the big difference. If God is with me and my family, no matter what happens, I will be anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. I need not go down under any situation, circumstance. We may slip up and fall. We rise up again. We stand on our feet. We are not groveling. That is the life that you and I are called to live on this earth. God was with. Put your name there. Therefore, you've been anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. Go about doing good, healing all those oppressed by the devil. Covet that, my brothers and sisters. I covet it more than anything else. That's the life I want to live on the earth. I've sought to live for all the years when the church began in Brother Zach's home. That's what Moses prayed for. If you turn back to Exodus 33. That's the distinguishing mark. I want to underline that. God was with Jesus. You want that? I want that said about me. It can be written over if we leave this earth before the Lord comes. It can be written over our tombstone. God was with so-and-so. He anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power. Went about doing good, healing all those. Rescuing those who have been taken captive by the devil. Seek for that. Your life will be different. Don't seek for anything else. Otherwise you get into competition. You're trying to outbeat others. You're trying to prove that you're spiritual. You're trying to prove that you're humble. None of these things. I want to be anointed with the Holy Spirit power to go about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil. Look at this is Moses' desire. You know, the prayer that he prayed. We've often looked at this, Exodus 33. Exodus 33. And was reading from verse 12. We can begin there. And Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor or grace in your sight, let me know your ways." Let me know your ways. The psalmist says the children of Israel saw God's works, but it was Moses who knew his ways. And that's what we want. We don't want just to see God work. We have seen many of his works, but we want to know his ways. And so he said, "Let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I might find favor or grace in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." And God said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then," listen to this, in verse 16, "how then can it be known that I have found favor or grace in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth?" That's what Moses prayed for. That was his desire. Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't lead us up from here. We don't want to move one step further. But if we have found grace in your sight, if I found grace in your sight as a disciple of Jesus, if my family has found grace in your sight, if us as a church have found grace in your sight, then let us be distinguished from all the other people on the face of the earth. We are no competition to prove that we're a perfect church. We are not a perfect church. We never will be till Jesus comes. But if God is with us, that makes all the difference, my brothers and sisters. That will distinguish us from all the other people, from all the other churches. I'm not saying that God is not with them. Maybe God is with them too, but not with everybody. And if God is with us, we'll be distinguished from all the other people who are on the face of the earth. And the Lord said to Moses, listen to this, verse 17, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor or grace in my sight, and I've known you by name. Then he prayed for one more thing. Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory, that I may know your ways, that I know that you are with us. And you know what God said, I let all my goodness pass before you. And he saw the glory of God. We heard that a few weeks ago. And God is gracious to whom I will be gracious. Verse 19, I'll show compassion to whom I will show compassion. That is what God wants of us, my brothers and sisters. That's how we are distinguished as a church. If God is not with us, you're wasting your time here. You might be sitting somewhere else, going on playing football or playing golf and doing so many other things that other people do. But when if God is with us, we are distinguished. In my office, in your office, in my business, in your business, in your office, you're distinguished as God is with you. Your colleagues will see there's something about this person. God is with you. God is with that gentleman. God is with somebody who is perhaps being the worst job in your office. But God is with him. It makes all the difference. And that is what we have always sought and coveted. And we thank God by his grace that God has been with us all these 45 years. And we want him to continue to be with us in the generation that's going forward to take the church forward. I hope that will be your desire. That will be your prayer like Moses. Lord, if you don't go with us, don't lead us up. We'll close up, shut the doors. But if you're with us, there's no limit to what you will do through us. That we can go about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil. That is the distinguishing mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ. Not that you know the whole truth, all the doctrines, you know the whole counsel of God, but that God is with you. Can you say that? God is with me. God is with my family. I proved it. I've tested it many times. Seek for that, my brothers and sisters, because that is what the angel proclaimed in Matthew chapter 1. Many proclaim the birth of Jesus and how Jesus was to be born. Matthew chapter 21. Sorry, Matthew 1, verse 21. Matthew 1. And it says in verse 18, when the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. That's how the church is born. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's the first thing that we read about Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, this is an Old Testament reference, Isaiah 7:14 is the prophet who prophesied, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. That was how the angel announced the birth of Jesus. That not only he will save his people from their sins, but his name will be called Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. So that is our privilege, and that is how Cornelius introduced Jesus to the Gentiles. In Cornelius's, Peter introduced Jesus to the Cornelius, to the Gentiles who gathered in his home. That God was with Jesus and anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power. And that is what distinguishes us as a church. May we seek for that. It's not the elders who are responsible for that. Every one of you who are part of the family, part of the body of Christ, you have a contribution to make sure that God is with us as we go forward. If you don't, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't lead us up from here. And I hope that for everything, even when we have to think of relocating, if we have to think of doing something, Lord, if you're not in with me in this, don't lead me up from here. Close the door. Shut the door. I've said this to many. So we'll seek God's will as to whether they should do this or go there or whatever it is. I always encourage brothers and sisters, seek for the witness in your spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, then say, Lord, show me. If this is not your will, what I have in my mind and what we are praying about, don't lead me up from here. Close the door. Maybe a better job, maybe a better country, but if that's not your will, you will not determine that boundary for me, close the door. It's as simple as that, my brothers and sisters. And let's really seek for that. That's what I want to encourage every one of us, particularly in these days, in the last days, that it will be seen, we'll be distinguished from all the other people on the face of the earth, that God is with us. And we see that also in Zechariah, you know, it talks there. And speaking about the church, Zechariah 8 verse 23, it says, in those days, 10 men of all the nations will grasp the garment of a Jew, of a disciple of Christ, one who knows and walks in God's ways. You know, we saw that in Exodus 33 about Moses. And they will say, let us go with you, for we have heard and seen that God is with you. Is that how it is in your office, in your business, that others see? There's something different. I want what you have. I want to sit with you and talk to you. God is with you because we have heard and seen that God is with you. And so that is how it must be. Not for our gifts, not for our talents, not how good we are in our job, but that God is with us. And in the church, that's how it must be. If you turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. When it talks about when we gather together. In verse 23. Therefore, if the whole church assembles together and all speak in tongues, and ungifted men or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are mad? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever, an ungifted man enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. That is what we seek for and what we have sought for all these 45 years. That if there are those who know God's ways, who are walking in His ways, whom it could be said that God is with them, God is with that person, you bring the presence of God into the church. And when all prophesy, it says the secrets of the hearts of unspiritual people are open, and they will fall on their face and worship God, declaring God is certainly among you. That is how it must be. And that is why we are told by the Holy Spirit, we are commanded by the Holy Spirit to covet to prophesy. And if God is with me, I will prophesy. Not for telling somebody's future, that some people understand it that way. But I will bring forth the word of God that will help people, will expose their hearts, will help them to see their condition, will help them, give them hope and lift them up. We sang that song, "You are the hope, the anchor of my soul." And that's how it must be, my brothers and sisters. In Genesis in chapter 21, verse 22, Abimelech, King Abimelech came to Abraham and he says, "I see that God is with you in all that you do." What a lovely testimony, isn't it? That in your office, in your business, in your locality, you know, we see that God is with you in all that you do. And you know the story there. He wanted Abraham to make peace with him. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, he says, "The Lord is with you wherever you go." 1 Chronicles in 17, verse 2, Nathan said to David, "Do all that is in your heart, for God is with you." If God is with us, we can do all that is in our hearts. If it is not of God's will, it will not meet success. But if God is with us, all that is in my heart, I can do for the glory of God. And in Acts chapter 7 and verse 9, we see there Stephen speaking about Joseph, said that he was sold into Egypt, yet God was with him and rescued him. And all through this golden line, as it were, running through, right to the very end, that God is with his people. God is with his church. The presence of God. And right, we get a taste of what it's going to be in the new heaven and earth. Right through the Bible, if you see this, God was with so-and-so. It's a name, not a general expression. A name. God was with his people. And then Revelation and 21, the culmination. Revelation 21, it says there, "I saw a new heaven," verse 1, "and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away. There is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them.'" And in verse 5 it says, "He who sits on the throne says, 'Behold, I'm making all things new.'" Beautiful, isn't it? And he said, God said, "Write." The angel said to John, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." I'm making all things new. That's the result when God is with us. He'll make everything new. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 6, 2 Corinthians 6, I think, "Come out and be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch what is unclean, and I will dwell with you. I'll be a father to you. I'll welcome you, and you shall be sons and daughters of the living God. I make all things new, no matter how it is, or how badly you messed up. Come." That's the invitation. Come, I'll make all things new in your life. I will be with you. You don't have to be disillusioned and frustrated. You can have fulfillment in your life, in the life that I've given you to live on this earth, says God. You can fulfill my purpose. Come, and I surrender your life to me. Give up your ways. Give up trying. Come to me. That's the invitation that Jesus. "Come to me, all you who labor, work yourselves to exhaustion. I will give you rest." And this is the rest, like we read, that God will lead us into rest when he is with us, no matter what happens. Whatever may happen in our country, whatever may happen in the world, like we heard in the beginning, God is with us, a refuge and strength. Even if the earth blows up, we will not be shaken, because God is with us. May we really seek for that, my brothers and sisters. I want to share one more word in Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, a beautiful word describing God. That's how it is. This is the God we worship. This is the God who has revealed Himself to us through Jesus. 45 verse 14. It says there, in the middle of verse 14, they will come, they will bow down to you, and they will make supplication to you. Surely God is with you, and there is none else, no other God. That's what we seek as a church. Surely God is with you, and there is no one else, no other God. And who is this God? Verse 15, beautiful. You're a God who hides Himself. Not who displays Himself, who goes on parade, but a God who hides Himself. That's the God we worship. And if I worship this God, and if I worship Jesus, we see that in the life of Jesus. Many things He did. He went, He hid Himself. He stopped people from going and proclaiming about all the signs and wonders He did. He did something good and went and hid Himself. He was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. We have heard that, what Brother Zach shared some time ago. After the order of Melchizedek. And who is this Melchizedek? If you turn to Genesis in chapter 14. That describes Jesus. Genesis in chapter 14. What we just read in Isaiah 45. You're a God who hides Yourself. In Genesis 14 it says about Abraham after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. The king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Sheva, that is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." Melchizedek, it says, it was the king of Salem, the king of peace. A picture of Jesus. He came unannounced. He brought food and wine, and he left Abraham with a prophetic word and disappeared. That is the life that God calls us to live on this earth. That's how Jesus lived. He disappeared. This is the God who is with us. We will not try to prove to people that God is with us. We don't have to proclaim great things. And God did this for us, or God did this for me. We will seek to hide ourselves like God does. And may we seek to know God in this way. That God can anoint us with the Holy Spirit and power, and we go about doing good, healing all those oppressed by the devil. There are many people around us who are taken captive by Satan. Who is to deliver them? It's people who know their God. People who know their God and do exploits for them. Who is to help them? I should not think of I, me and myself, my family. I want to go about doing good. I want to heal all those who have been taken captive by Satan. And that will prove that God is with me. I hope you seek for that. My brothers and sisters, time is short. We're nearing the end. And this is what, if there's anything you want and you seek for and you desire with all your heart like Moses, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't lead us up from here. I want it to be known that I am not just a believer in God. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I've been anointed with the Holy Spirit and power because You are with me. You are with us as a church. May God really put that desire in your heart and mine in the coming days, that it will be distinguished from, that we will be distinguished from all the other people on the face of the earth. Amen.